This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you all doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Excuse my voice this evening, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant shifa to all those of us who are ill, and all those who are sick, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a speedy recovery, and forgiveness for those who have passed on, ameen. Seventh night of Ramadan. 1 week has gone, and only 3 weeks left. 22 days to Jannah. 22 days, we said, one successful Ramadan is enough for us to enter into Jannah. One Ramadan done correctly is enough for us to get there. But this is usually the part of the month where we become a bit laxed, where we see the numbers in the masjids begin to thin out, and we see the enthusiasm from the first few nights to disappear, and the lull until we get to the last 10 nights, and then the crowd comes back. But this is really the test, and this is the difficult part. This is when we have to make that extra effort. Just 22 days, Jamaatul Muslimin, and you can get a place in Jannah. All your sins are forgiven. Subhanallah, something worth working for. And we know that Laylatul Qadr can be on any night in the month of Ramadan. Any night of Ramadan. And to think about it again, as Allah says, خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, better than 1,000 months. If you take the salary you earn times 1,000, and your boss tells you, just work this one night correctly, properly, I'll give you the salary times 1,000, all of us will work to the full potential that we can. And it could be any of these nights, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a freebie. So may we, inshallah, try to make the most of it, and continue, even though it's difficult, we're sick, it's cold, it's tiring, but let's do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will just give us more in return, ameen. We continue with our series, The Heroes of Islam. Yesterday we discussed those who conquered Spain and Portugal, and Islam pushed deep into Europe and was on the verge of entering, and in fact Islam, the Muslim army, did enter France and conquered the south of France, and there was so little resistance. The historian said, had the Khalifa not pulled Musa ibn Nusayr and Tariq ibn Ziyad out back, because of that, it delayed Europe by over 1,000 years of civilization. The rest of Europe lagged behind. And had the Muslims entered, they would have brought the technology and the learning that they had amassed over these past few years, and Europe would have come out of its dark ages. But because of politics, the Ummah basically stopped at the end of Spain, and that was the Western Front. And it would remain like that, and Islam would progress a few years after that, 50 kilometers or so outside of Paris, and then never again would they really cross over into France. Now we go to the east, and subhanallah, living at the turn of the 8th century, it was like Muslims couldn't lose. Every frontier they were fighting, they were winning. Every enemy that they were facing, they were defeating. And the boundaries of the Ummah just got bigger and expanded more and more and more. Muhammad ibn Qasim, rahimullah, the conqueror of Sindh and Pakistan. We know today Pakistan, one of the largest Muslim nations on earth. And how did it enter into Islam? How did Islam reach this region? It is through the efforts of this man, Muhammad ibn Qasim, rahimullah. So his name is Muhammad ibn Qasim al-Thaqafi. And a side note here, when you hear the name al-Thaqafi, like Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi, it means they come from the tribe of Thaqif in Ta'if. So he came from his ancestral home, was the tribe of Ta'if, which is very closely related to the Quraysh, the people of Mecca. Right? So he lived, Taif is right next to Mecca. And we said his uncle is Hajjaj. Remember that general, the governor Hajjaj, the man who cured the guy from being blind? The governor of Iraq. Very strong, very powerful, he wielded. He was the most feared man in the kingdom. People feared him more than the Khalifa. There's a nice story when Hajjaj was coming for Hajj, and he came to a Bedouin tribe, and he asked the Bedouin, what do you say, have you heard of Hajjaj? So he said, of course, we all hear of Hajjaj. And he says, what do you know about Hajjaj? So he said, wallahi, I never saw him, but I know he's a tyrant, and he's a zalim, and he's a murderer, and XYZ. So then Hajjaj says, do you know who I am? So he said, no, who are you? So he said, I am Hajjaj. So the Bedouin said, do you know who I am? So Hajjaj says, but who are you? He said, I'm the idiot of this tribe. So subhanAllah, the Majnoon of this tribe. And he laughed, and they said, the best way to stop the anger of a tyrant is to make him laugh. And he laughed, and he let the man go. So this man, Muhammad ibn Yusuf, was Hajjaj's nephew. Right, that was his uncle, Hajjaj. And if you look at his life, 695 to 715, 20 years. He only had a short, very short life. And he was connected to Hajjaj. So let's talk about how Islam entered Sindh or Pakistan. In the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh, the Persian Empire, which was up until Iran, and Iran borders Pakistan, the Muslim Empire in the time of Sayyidina Umar managed to conquer the Persian Empire completely. And the most eastern province of the Muslim Empire that time was called Makran. Today it's between Persia, between Iran and Pakistan. It was in that region. And if you have a knowledge of Pakistan, you would know a river flows through Pakistan called the Indus River. And this was really the boundary of the Muslim lands. They never ventured across that river. Muslims wouldn't go across that land. And one or two expeditions that went over, they found that the people were very strong and very, very dangerous, and fighting there was not worth it. And it was a big logistic problem to go across the river. So Muslims never really ventured across the Indus River. And Sayyidina Umar and the Khalifas after him said, just stay on our side of the river and they will be on their side. But there was a problem. Because economically, the Silk Route, and the Silk Route is basically the trading route from China that moves through India, through the Middle East, and then goes to Europe. This was the trading route. There were two major trading routes of the time. One by land, going through China and passing through the mountain areas, and you had to pass through Afghanistan. You had to pass through Afghanistan, and then you entered Persia, entered Muslim lands, and they moved on further. The other route was by sea. You went by the China Sea, through the Indian Ocean, along the coast of India. So you see the red line and the blue line, and then you get to Arabia and so forth. You go into the Mediterranean. The land route, the Muslims were very keen on securing the land route. It made more sense because they ruled Persia. So the link between Persia and India and China is Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And Afghanistan, even till today, it says it's the land where conquerors basically fall. When you enter Afghanistan, you don't win easily in Afghanistan. The people of Afghanistan, the only thing tougher and rougher than the Afghan terrain are the Afghan people. And even the Muslims struggled to conquer the kingdoms of Afghanistan. They couldn't get it. And to get through into India, you have to go through these Afghan kingdoms. It's called the Khaybar Pass. And the Muslims tried for almost 100 years against these kingdoms, and they were unsuccessful. So they depended heavily on the coastal route, the Silk Route. They needed the Silk Route to be safe, and they need the sea route of the silk trade along the coast. They needed this route to be safe and secure, and therefore they entered into a treaty with the the leader of Sindh. And as I said, Sindh, as you see that, do you see where the red line goes through India, between Persia and India? There's a red line going from the sea and up.
Yeah.
That's basically what the region we're talking about. That's the Indus River, and the Muslims had an agreement with the ruler of Sindh, that he would protect the boundary or the coast from pirates, and that the ships that go past his land would be safe. And Hajjaj had a treaty with this man, and his name was Raja Dahir. Right? He was named Raja Dahir, being the ruler of Sindh. At that time, Sri Lanka, Islam had reached Sri Lanka, and Muslims were traveling to and fro along the sea route, and a group of pirates in Sindh captured a ship containing Muslim women and children, and they took them hostage. And when Hajjaj, the governor, and we said, Hajjaj, we know who he is, he doesn't play, when he said to the ruler of Sindh, Raja, get those pirates, bring them to justice, and set those people free, he refused. And he said, this is not my concern. And for Hajjaj, this could not be left unanswered. So he said, in that case, our peace treaty is null and void, and I will send troops against you. So he sent two armies to the region. He sent one army to the region, and it was completely defeated. And he sent a second army with troops, and it also was completely defeated. The Muslims could not fight across the river of the Indus. They couldn't fight in this terrain. And it looked increasingly impossible to really subdue and take control of the Sindh region. And he was preparing a third and final army, and he had a general in mind, when his young nephew, 17 years old, Muhammad ibn Qasim, said, "Oh uncle, give me the leadership. Let me be in charge, and I promise you, inshallah, I won't disappoint you." 17 years old. And Hajjaj liked the idea, and he gave 7,000 men to his nephew Muhammad ibn Qasim, and they marched along the coast, along the Persian coast, Iran, entered into Makran, which was the Muslim state, and then they reached the Indus River. Hajjaj also sent with ships siege weapons. Obviously, you couldn't push your catapults by land, so he sent it with ships and additional troops by ship. So these two armies met, and he was the overall leader. And the first thing he did is he found the port city, the city where the Indus River meets the Indian Ocean. There's a city called, today it's called Karachi, right? Today at Karachi, that same city, Muhammad ibn Qasim came to that city, and he took it quite easily. And his method of governing, he realized the reason why people in this area, the governors before, failed. He realized, like Musa ibn Nusayr realized, you can't bully and subdue the people. You need to work with the people. So he gave them their freedom, and he allowed them to practice their religion freely. And he said to the people, it's no benefit I take you hostage and I harm you. We need you to work in your lands. We need your civilization. We want you to continue, but we want to bring law and order into this region. And there was tremendous hatred between the rulers of India, or the rulers of Sindh, and the people. The people were Buddhist, and the Raja was Hindu. So there was hatred between the leadership and the people. And now he came and he said, I offer you freedom to practice your religion freely. Just support us in this campaign. And people supported him. And without much fighting, he was able to get the support of the people on the western side of the Indus. Remember, it's the other side of the river that's the problem. And he even got people to take his army across the river safely. And something which the previous generals were unable to do. Hajjaj even wrote to him and said, you're too lenient with these people. You need to be a bit firmer. And he believed in tough love. Right? So this didn't, Muhammad ibn Qasim disagreed with his uncle, and he was successful. Then he crossed the river, and now he had to meet Raja Dahir in battle. And the army of the Raja was much superior in number and strength than the Muslim army. And they had with them elephants, of course, as you know, India's got elephants, and they had elephants, something which the Muslims, of course, are not used to fighting. But they had a tactic, and they learned this tactic from Khalid ibn Walid. You blindfold your camel, and you shoot the elephant in the eyes using fire or burning arrows. And when an elephant is out of control, it does more damage to the enemy's army than your own. And this was the tactic used, and it was in Ramadan once again. 1 year after Spain had been conquered, a year later, Raja was defeated, and the Muslim army was left unchecked. It was unable to be stopped, and it continued along the Indus River all the way into Kashmir. This is basically the entire length of Pakistan, and he entered into Kashmir, and this was 712. The next step would have been to go further into China. There were two generals, the next one we'll talk about tomorrow, two generals fighting on the east, one in India and one north in Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan. And Hajjaj said to the two of them, Muhammad ibn Qasim and Qutaybah ibn Muslim, we'll talk about tomorrow, he said, whichever of you reaches China first, you will be the governor of China. So the race was on. And Muhammad ibn Qasim looked like he was getting there, because he got into Kashmir, and India was unfortified. The Indian armies were not that strong, and he looked ready to go further when similarly what happened to Tariq ibn Ziyad, his uncle Hajjaj passed away, and he had a lot of enemies. Hajjaj had a lot of enemies because of the way he treated people, and the enemies of Hajjaj decided to take retribution, and they called Muhammad ibn Qasim back from his campaign. At 20 years old, after conquering Sindh and all of Pakistan, he returned to Damascus to obey the new Khalifa, and there unfortunately he was imprisoned and tortured severely, really, really badly. His eyes burned out and his body chopped up and his family killed. And this was the end of Muhammad ibn Qasim. And they said, had he been allowed to go further, Islam would have gotten to India centuries before it actually did. And the people of Pakistan till today remember this great man, Muhammad ibn Qasim, who brought Islam to this land. And this is once again another example of how the Umayyad government on top was playing politics, and at the bottom, people were suffering. So, inshallah, we continue tomorrow with these great generals. The third of these great generals, Qutaybah ibn Muslim, we'll talk about him tomorrow, how he brought the lands of Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, and he actually was the man that reached China first. We'll talk about him tomorrow, inshallah, ibnillah. As for tonight's quiz, we just give the answers to last night's questions. Last night's question, with what was the people of Aad destroyed? Allah subhanahu destroyed them with a wind. Number two, for how many years did Nabi Nuh call his people to Islam? Allah says 1,000 less 50, meaning 950 years. And lastly, which Nabi is mentioned the most by name in the Quran? Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad is mentioned the least of the four. Musa and Isa and Ibrahim alayhi salam are mentioned more than Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no quiz tonight, but we were going to give the results of this past week's, there's a log of the top 10 performers, and inshallah You know, we're going to there's no prizes tonight. The prize giving is going to be tomorrow. But we'll just like to give the top 10 performers. We won't give the full list. MashaAllah. Fadla is on top, and Rukhaya, and lady, the sisters are winning, it seems. Ismail, MashaAllah. Ismail is up there. And Yazid, MashaAllah. And I know some people are just here one or two nights in the week, so they haven't filled in the full quiz. But for those who have been here consistently, and Zubair part-time, he's a part-time, he's only not professionally, he's just here, MashaAllah. So tomorrow we'll give Fadla, she topped the log, she'll get a prize tomorrow, and then we'll also have the lucky prize. So if you have the Mubarakness on your side, you can also win tomorrow, inshallah, and then we continue with the quiz the after. Jazakallah khair. جزاك الله خير وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته